going down. I want access to that chair spoken to. But on the corridor was an elephant is the human footprint that is growing as a developing country. That was not easy to have migratory routes like in Tanzania, Serengeti, who are constrained. Chair spoken briefly on the climate change by the honourable member and the temperatures at deforestation. Just in summary, it's fair to be dealt at two levels. There's the mitigation issues, that's why the fossil fuel issues and water we look at. There's also issues of adaptation and also clearing of alien plants. The one is yellow. You clear aliens in order to improve water quality and water yield, and also to allow natural vegetation to grow. A chair indicates it's a complex matter that I would like in future to engage the committee in detail on that. Well, remember, you spoke about issue of green scorpions, SAPs, what is their role? I want to start by saying it's true, honourable members, it's a transnational crime. We were supposed to get to those who are laundering money, to those who are recruiting poor South Africans to be involved in poaching. For us, we don't enjoy the arrest of the locals, because those are poor men and women from the villages who get bribed to go and bring the horn. But the main syndicates might be sitting in Joburg, in Cape Town, or overseas. We don't see, to be honest, a penetration by SAPS, crime intelligence, and other structures in terms of dealing with the issue beyond our boundaries. We as SANParks, our rangers are deployed in the back for area integrity. One wishes that there could be more deployment outside the parks, more proactive intelligence in order to deal with the criminals. Yes, there are structures in place. There's a Majok in Kruger where intelligence structures sit, SANParks sit, the army sits, the SAP sits. But most of the patrolling on the ground is done by the rangers. The police are doing crime scene management. If there's a rhino killed, you must have SAPs come into the crime scene and manage the crime scene. For us, our work ends there. I just want also to couple this with another question from the honourable member around what happens to cases. We arrest, we record. We hand over the suspects to the police. They will do the processing through their the judicial system. The only time we get feedback about who has been arrested is when we ask to say, tell us what happened to case number so and so. Some cases will take more than a year before we know that is the same person who was arrested. Sometimes we come across repeat offenders. People were arrested the previous year, they get a bail, they come back, and then they get arrested again. Although we're working together, honourable members, there are still gaps that must be addressed in terms of dealing with this as a transnational crime, getting Interpol to assist us with these issues. Under the speeding in the park, we are still maintaining visibility because we have our own radar, our own vehicles. We do maintain visibility, but we can't issue a fine. To issue a fine, you must, if you're lucky, get a traffic officer from transport to be able to issue that fine. Therefore, those fines that we work with them, they appear in their records, not in our records. But it's one thing that governance-wise, we need to work on it. And also, honourable members, because Parliament is the lawmaker, perhaps is one amendment to be done in our Act to allow us to issue the fine. Perhaps that the department will come here to Parliament for us to have such a provision. The park management plans are daily legislated. Yes, honourable member, the 10-year cycle is in the legislation. But within that, a plan is a plan. But we have what I call operational annual plan to implement that plan. They were adaptive there. If there are emerging issues, because issues of environment are moving targets, if there are emerging issues there, you adapt your operational plan to deal with it on the spot. But in the 10-year cycles, it is legislated, honourable member. Again, you asked about the army. The army will tell us that their responsibility is borderline control. So they do. They patrol the border. They don't. I doubt they have arresting powers, honourable member. But they do borderline control. It's their responsibility. But we do interact with them on a daily basis. But the deployment of army is only in Kruger National Park, where there's a border with Mozambique and Zimbabwe in the north. But in other parks, we do all the patrols ourselves. I must say, it is true that there is an inside job. Our staff are infiltrated. We do arrest our own staff at times. But we do try to create awareness, because in most cases we realize that this action should be somebody knowing something. You cannot come at night from the outside in the bush and do a successful killing of a rhino. Therefore, there are our staff members who are implicated. But we do create awareness amongst our staff, especially even in the small parks. You can see it's an inside job. Therefore, why three rhinos? Because they're infiltrated, and then they are tame, some of them, because you drive in this car, you see them next to the road, but they do get killed. It's a sad thing. I will leave it at this one. On the science labs, yes, we build a building. It's like a classroom with different substations for the kids to work. And on this one, the latest one, we have developed a screen for interactive engagement with the kids, with the teacher, with the screen. Yes, we provide proper buildings. Monitoring, we're not strong at that, I must be honest here. Because there are some we visited, there's no water, the toilet is no longer flushing. We do have those issues. But we, each time we hand over one, we tell the inspectors, the principals, educators, that it's their responsibility. Because an asset the government is giving to them. But there are elements of mismanagement. Perhaps monitoring this and reporting back to Parliament is one thing we should perhaps enhance. Oh, remember, let me apologize on the acronyms, because I did tell our office that please attach, I think they send them later, the list of acronyms. In future, we'll make sure that they are attached to the presentation so that we can interact with them. Apologies for that. Hectares of land purchased. We are using different sources of funding. We do get a land grant from the department. That land grant is to buy land. That's one portion. We also do get money to rehabilitate. Therefore, you are rehabilitating the existing land, which is under conservation already. You are right, Honourable Member, that you are inheriting a piece of land which becomes a liability. Therefore, in that case, yes, our budget is stretched big time, because as we expand, you must make sure that the land is well managed. But in future, we'll make a correlation between the two. But these are two sources of money: grants for land and also grant for rehabilitation. Rehabilitating the existing parks that are infested by alien invasives. Yes, we do have speed humps, not in all the parks. One park I can remember on the fines, you ask a question, is Golden Gate. If you drive from Clarence to the Kwakwa site, we have speed humps there. But it is a provincial route, but we insisted that we must have speed humps. The airwing, the check touched on it, but fundraising is one key thing that we are also emphasizing for our airwing because of the expense that the chair spoke about. On the research, Honourable Member, we are using what we call a network model, where indeed, as you say, we work with institutions. Like, for example, we have an MOU with the University of Mpumalanga. We have an MOU with Nelson Mandela University. We want to have MOUs with many universities. What we haven't done is the one in Northern Cape. In doing that, there'll be research notes. For example, the University of Mpumalanga will focus more in the Kruger with the savanna ecosystem. Northern Cape is an arid one. Nelson Mandela is both terrestrial and marine. Therefore, we'll have those things. With CSIR, we do work with them, but we don't have an MOU, Honourable Member, but we can look at that. We work with Agricultural Research Council, but there are issues like some of the toxic plants to wildlife that they know more about. I also want to indicate that our publishing is peer-reviewed by those universities. We do select relevant scientists to peer review the work. On the visitor number, I don't remember, the chair responded to that. On the revenue generation, chair, the 12 are new ones. We can only talk on projections because they are starting to be active. We can say, like for this Kukuza Lodge, which is going to start operating end of the year, we can only show what projected revenue for it, because it's a new product. Therefore, it's not easy to say this is what they are producing as we speak, because they are still new in the system. But we do projections that we can bring to Parliament. The jobs, yes, the focus is on local communities. I was trying to get Chairperson the breakdown, I don't have it, of women, youth.
No, it's not included there, CE, but there is a specific target for both women, youth, and people with disabilities within all of those EPWP projects, and we align to it 100%.
But we can just send the information to the members to say we will do that, Honourable Member. Green economy projects, they are linked, or remember, to Operation Pakisa, biodiversity economy, and the labs. Therefore, there we do get funding and identify those projects that are linked to ocean economy. There are those linked to green economy, and then linked to the broader Pakistan that are developed by the department. The EE program is an awareness campaign, Honourable Member. We don't appoint them. But the point you are making is that, what is the plan? We don't have a plan. It's an awareness campaign for them to know issues of environment. But it doesn't mean it can't be looked at, your suggestion. We'll talk to the department. Women in management, 40% versus 39.6 white green. There's a dashboard we're using, which is from presidency, monitoring and evaluation. Oh, actually, we don't have it here. Because nobody showed that dashboard up front.
We don't.
It's a mistake here.
However, it then shows that what's green or what is then regarded as achieved is between 95% and 100%. So 39.6% of 40 is over that 95%.
But we omitted that dashboard because all departments, remember, are using it.
Yeah.
Once you're above the particular number, you are green, you are amber, and you are red. I think we must circulate that also. Therefore, I hear honorable say 50%. We were benchmarking ourselves with other departments and other sectors. We hear the 50%, but we'll have to change our APP coming to Parliament if it's doable. But we'll have to change the APP, but we benchmarked as honourable member with 50%. But I must say, all management positions, they are not approved at a level lower than myself in the organisation because of that target. I must say, we have employed women; they become good believers because they get greener pastures. But now, what is the retention strategy for them? What do we do? There's a women forum, chairperson and honourable members. She leads it, but perhaps we need to work on something for them to stay longer. Because we appoint, they come, they say, no, I get a better offer. They leave us. But we need some retention strategy. Male to female ratio, yes, it's a little bit above honourable member. Jill, can you talk quickly to the minimum education requirements?
Thank you, CE. Thank you, Chair. So in terms of the minimal requirements, obviously it's different across the organisation. We've got our various divisions, and within the various divisions there are different jobs that must be done. So for each job, the minimal requirement will be at a particular level. So for instance, a junior scientist within the organisation would have to have at least an honours degree in that particular field. But if we are talking about a hospitality services manager in the hospitality services, that would have to have at least a diploma in tourism, and then we have, you know, what that person must then study afterwards to become fully compliant.
Another one, honourable member, you raised is about the issues of labour matters. I just want to show you, honourable member, slide 13, you alluded to it. Slide 13, yes, you spoke to it. If you look at the percentage rate at CCMA, page 13, apologies, page 13, ma'am, sorry, page 13. We can only measure our fairness in terms of applying labor law if our own staff, even ourselves, appeal to CCMA after the case has been concluded. You can see there's a summary there where we show our success rate. Whether success or no success, you don't want to get there anyway. You would like not to have labor cases at all. But at times, you must follow a process for our staff, including ourselves, to have a fair hearing. On the one, honourable member, you spoke about, can we perhaps, at a correct time, be allowed to come back to Parliament and present the whole thing? Because is ongoing. There are new developments. Therefore, we want that once everything is complete, we come here and present the full scenario. But for here, we are reporting our success in terms of where there are appeals, what is the percentage success. That's where we measure the issues of fairness in the process. Irregular expenditure, I would like CFO to speak to it. I'm not sure, Chairperson, whether you want honorable members to listen to the audit outcomes first, and then those questions can be answered at that time.
Thank you, Chair. I'll suggest so. In the issues of that relate to the audit, let's allow that. Now, we are almost running out of time. I was looking at that honorable member at the end. When these many questions were coming, I think one time we had an issue about the number of questions a member is asking. And so I think at some point we'll have
to... Not ever, Mr. Chair, you misrepresent me.
No, I know. I'm saying at one point we had an issue that related to a number of questions that a member can ask. I would suggest we allow this report now of the audit over to you.
Thank you, Chair. It's on the screen. We received an unqualified audit opinion with findings. And there were two findings on the financials which relate to two items. The first one was irregular expenditure, as already been asked by honorable members. The irregular expenditure that was raised by the AG is about 1 million, and it related to a transaction that we did not include initially when we reported irregular expenditure. The total irregular expenditure is higher than that. It's about 198 million. And it's in the following slide, because I want to unpack that as part of the financial outcome to the performance. So what happened, Honorable Chair, is that when I joined the organization, I joined it about after with the organization just under 2 years. Before that, the irregular expenditure was about less than 1,998,000. But the work of really trying to understand the environment and what happened to SANPARK, then we started working on irregular expenditure. In that year, which I think I joined 4 months before the end of the financial year, the irregular expenditure that was reported was about 6 million in that year. And I guess because of the limited time that one had in terms of trying to work through the matters, but it's grown. And out of that 6 million, 90% was identified by management of SANPARK and 10% was identified by the Auditor General. So our internal control system were working in terms of detection, but not necessary in failure to prevent irregular expenditure. And I want to actually distinguish the two. So in this previous financial year in which we are currently presenting to portfolio committee, we then did more extensive work to try to understand the irregular expenditure and we'll work on it. You will see that it has grown from that 6 million to about 197 that was reported, then including the 1 million that was identified by the Auditor General. The crux of the matter, honorable members, is that most of this irregular expenditure is historical. It's things that have not been done properly in many years ago. And you will see it with the bulk transaction because there's significant transaction where you can see where it's coming from. So we've commenced with the work of really identifying it, reporting it. We're at the process now that it's been audited by the Auditor General, of appointing loss and control officers to then do the determination tax, which is required in terms of irregular expenditure framework by National Treasury. And the reason for us to go through that route is because we want this to be done by an independent people who can actually look at what happened. Coupled up with this, Honorable Chair, we are trying to put in place systems and control to prevent it from happening going forward. It's still happening, but not to the extent that it's been happening historically. So there are a number of issues that we're actually dealing with in trying to resolve it. And one of them, we are embarking with already amended and presented to the board last year an updated SCM policy. We've subsequently amended this year as we get more circulars from National Treasury. Secondly, we've worked on SOP, Standard Operating Procedure, that help people to understand how to comply with SCM regulations and policy. Number three, we have embarked on roadshows throughout all the parks that have been mentioned by the CEO, trying to get staff to understand how to comply. We have done workshop. Even the executive of the organization, they've committed time in understanding how the policies work. I mean, we had an EXCO SCM workshop because that's how we take it so seriously. We're engaging in various means of trainings. We've actually even invited National School of Government to help us with some of the trainings. So we're increasing our capacity as well as reporting. So on a regular basis on EXCOs, we're now reporting on irregular expenditure. We're reporting on progress of procurement plan so that there's a clear understanding of what's happening in the procurement space and each executive is taking accountability for their area. But the fundamental problem, it's really in contract management because that's a source. If you don't close that tab, then you will have a problem. And that's why one of the things that I've established is that we didn't have a capacity to manage our contracts within the organization with an existing staff. And part of what we've done, we've engaged a service provider who's helping us to do exactly that. And we're very much confident that even though in this current year, we will be reporting more irregular expenditure, but I think it will be the last batch of the historic one, because now we're dealing with the matter as we are going forward. So we are putting more accountability, and that's why we're talking about the issues of having a loss and control officer doing the determination test, because we want to get to the point which has been raised by Honorable Mem, the consequence management. And you can't deal with consequence management without really doing a determination test to say what happened, who didn't do what, or who did what, in order to determine where the fault is and how you address it. And in terms of National Treasury regulation, even when we ask for the condonment for this irregular expenditure, we have to outline what consequence management has been taken to actually address it. Now, the second finding was with regard to commitment. And again, it also linked back to contract management because there's certain commitment which were actually reported incorrectly and which were then raised as finding by the Auditor General, which have subsequently been corrected, but we are working on how to prevent it going forward. So those were the two main findings. That's why we're saying it was unqualified with finding. On the performance information, the finding that we had is that there's certain information that was not submitted with financial statement. And because it was not submitted during the audit, then the Auditor General took it as information that was changed after the information has been submitted. Thank you very much, Chair. Now I'm going to move to the questions that have been asked following the presentation of the audit outcome, Chair, if you allow. There were questions which were relating to finance, which I would like to address. Now,
can we raise questions that then he responds to all of those questions?
Right. Can I take hands? One, two. Yes, that's true. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Let me firstly say that it's a pity we didn't bring the Auditor General report that we had yesterday. And what the SANPAC is giving us is just a summary. We don't want a summary. Remember, we need to know what is happening. Because we are